2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 8. And yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are about giving. And we don't talk a whole lot about giving around here. But we certainly, it is in the Bible. By the way, Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell combined. Think about that. Jesus talked more about money than he did his second coming. So it certainly makes giving or money important if Jesus spoke about it that much. Giving is always, listen to this statement, giving is always a barometer of the heart. I don't like to teach and preach with stuff in my pockets, but normally I'd have my billfold. I do have my offering this morning. So we've said it since, it's a biblical principle that your spirituality, my spirituality, is connected to this stuff. It just is. It's a barometer of the heart. And how you deal with this stuff impacts your spiritual life. It impacts your walk with God. Because the love of money can really hurt us. I think the Bible says something about the love of money is the root of all evil. But the love of money impacts our heart. And so how we give and how we what we do with this, again, I know I'm repeating myself on purpose, but it really involves our spiritual walk. And I can't encourage you enough that the very first thing you need to do, the very first thing you need to do as a new Christian, as a Christian of 10 years, or it doesn't matter, is to give to the Lord. And the Bible says 10%. 10%. 10%. That's before the government gets at it or before insurance is taken out. You know, that's before your 401k program. 10%. 10% is required of the Lord. It's us giving back to Him what He's given to us. You say, well, preacher, that's a tough thing for me. And if you're a new Christian, listen, I just want to encourage you. You will never truly understand or conceive how God will bless you until you step out by faith and begin to give. My dad always said, and I believe it, you can do a lot more with the 90% than you can the 100%. Once you understand the biblical concept of giving, once you understand the biblical concept of stewardship, and you realize it, and conviction sets in that you're not giving according to the biblical plan, it's going to bother you. It's going to bother you until you get it right. And giving that 10% sometimes is a huge step of faith, but God will bless you. And again, we're not TV evangelists, you know, talking about if you give 100, God will give you 1,000. The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible does say, and the biblical principle is, that if you give, God will bless you. If you give. And then the Bible speaks about that if you don't give, that it's like putting money into a purse that has holes in it. It'd be like getting money, receiving money, and putting it in your pocket and it has holes in it. I had a pair of Wrangler jeans, 20X ones, real nice ones. I bought them, got them home, and they had a hole in the pocket. And instead of taking them back to the store and getting another one, I lived with it. Well, for 3 or 4 years, every time I put that stinking pair of pants on, I lose my, you know, come around, where did my keys go? Well, I had to go hunt them down. Where did my change go? Where did my money go? All gone. And that's what the Bible describes about a Christian now. Lost people, that's a whole different thing. But a person who's a child of God, a child of the King, as we receive, we're to give back in return. And the Bible says if we don't, it's like putting money in our pocket that has holes in it. And that's why my dad's principle, and it's a biblical principle, that you can do more with the 90% than you can the 100%. All right, preacher, are you saying that if you don't give the 100 or the 10% that God will take it in other ways? It's kind of what I'm saying. That's kind of the biblical principle. That's not always the case. I don't want to put a hard line and say, if you don't give, God's going to bring down judgment upon you. That is not the case. Because, listen, it's a heart issue. And not everyone is at the same level spiritually. So we can't... I'm getting all psychological or a little bit soft on you here. We can't judge someone in their spiritual life, where they're at and where they're not. Only God knows that. And so we need to be careful to condemn somebody, and even in this room, who may not be to that level yet, and encourage them that God is not Zeus. And if you don't read your Bible today, bam, he takes you out. That's not God. That's not the God we serve. And if you don't give today, God's not going to take you out. But I promise you, if you give, God will bless you for it. Amen. And he does put some things in there to remind us that if we don't give, that there is some consequences. And I think that consequences depend upon our heart. It depends upon your heart and where your heart is at spiritually. We should give. So the very first step in giving is to give of the tithe. We say, preacher, the tithe is of the law. Well, the tithe was before the law. Right? Abraham gave the tithe. So the tithe was before Moses. The tithe has been a biblical principle since the very beginning in Adam and Eve. And so that tithing principle is in place. Giving is always a barometer of the heart. And whether or not you give, it really does tell a lot about you spiritually. We as a church, the Bible says, are commanded to go. And this is a preaching. We're going to hear a lot about this week, that the purpose of the church is to evangelize. To evangelize. The purpose of the church is to baptize. The purpose of the church is to stabilize. And that's Brother Stewart's outline. And you could say the purpose of the church is to win people, wed them, and work them. Right? And the old preachers used to say worm them. But we won't say that in here because that's not right. So that is the purpose of the church, is to win people to Jesus Christ, to give them the gospel, Amen. To baptize them and disciple them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he says, and lo, I will be with you always. And God will bless that. And we have, and listen, as a nation, as churches as a whole in America, have definitely, absolutely, without a doubt, it's not debatable, they have gotten off track. Most churches have. They become something other than a soul-winning station. They become a social station, a social club. And we never want to get in that position. Listen, it's fine. We ought to help people. We ought to be benevolent towards people. But that's not our primary goal as a church, is to help people, with a new coat or food. And we certainly want to help people. We're not cruel. But our main emphasis, our main purpose is to win people to Jesus. We don't support missionaries whose main emphasis is to feed people. We do not support missionaries whose main purpose or main goal is to feed people. Now, if they feed people as a way to win people, I've seen that happen. We have missionaries that do that. But we don't support people whose main purpose is to feed people, because that's not the primary purpose. By the way, so the Salvation Army started out as a soul-winning station. And you know what happened to them? They started feeding people. I'm not saying it's wrong, but feeding people and helping people became their main thrust. And now look at them. Churches all across America are becoming the same thing. Again, not becoming. Most of them are. Most of them are. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. It's not the last thing. Winning people to Jesus is not the last thing. It's not part of our program. It's not part of our ministry. It is the main thing. It is the main thing. It must remain. Faith, promise, giving. Man, I need to quit preaching and start teaching. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So think about Macedonia. Churches. Those churches are Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. But the churches of Macedonia, that area of Macedonia, he says, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, money, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. This grace is speaking of money now, this giving. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. All right, let's stop there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith promise giving, or a more biblical term would be grace giving. Grace giving, that's what it's speaking about here. Grace giving. Grace giving. It is giving not based upon our ability, but giving based upon God's ability. By the way, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the hills. His riches are beyond explaining or trying to identify. We see, number one, we see the promise to the givers. The promise to the givers. I love this verse. Turn with me over to Philippians. We preached on this just a few weeks ago. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Remember, we preached a few weeks ago on Sunday morning on the fruit. Look at verse 15. Now you Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated to me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. In other words, the Philippian church, there were some others there, but they stepped up and gave to Paul. For even Thessalonica you sent once and again unto me necessity. Now because I desire a gift, hang on, let me get this straight. Verse 17 now, this important verse. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's what I preached on a few weeks ago. Let me just remind you that as you give, Paul said, I don't desire that you give to me just to give to me. I said, I desire you to give a gift to me that fruit may abound to your account. Yeah. And listen, as we give to mission, as we give to the church, we get an opportunity to be a part of fruit bearing. And as you give to Brother Harold Prady in the ministry there, as our church gives to him, and he wins people to the Lord in Honduras, fruit abounds to our account. This is the biblical principle is when we stand before God someday and we're receiving rewards and loss of rewards, whatever the case is, that there will be people in heaven that we invested in that we don't have a clue who they are because Brother Prady led them to the Lord and Brother McCullum led them to the Lord and so forth and so on. But fruit goes to our account. We receive rewards before it. Amen. We never met him. Then you'll know that song, Thank You. That's what verse 17 is speaking of. But I have all, verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which you sent from me, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the theme of the book of Philippians is selflessness. We've been preaching this on Sunday night for the last 2 years. Theme of the book of Philippians is selflessness. It's joy, yes, but joy based upon selflessness. Joy that's produced by being selfless, being Christ-like. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is selflessness. And as we are selfless, we, on the other hand, receive joy. Receive joy. So the context of Philippians 4:19 is giving. Is giving. Think about it for a minute. He's speaking of them giving, of the church of Thessalonica, when he was there, that the Philippian church gave to him, even when he's in Thessalonica. He said, not that I desired a gift from you, but that fruit may abound to your account. And here's the message. And this is, again, part of that lessons in Philippians. If our command of the Lord is to look out for others. That's what Philippians 2 says. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul said in there in chapter 3, he says, I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for their state, for all seek their own and not the things which are Christ. So if Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 are speaking about us doing for others, then who takes care of us? If we're to look out for the needs of others and our neighbors and our cousins and our co-workers, then who takes care of us? God says it. But my God shall supply all your needs. You look out for the needs of others and God will supply your need. You be a generous giver. You be a generous giver. You be a cheerful giver, and God will take care of your needs. That's the biblical principle. God blesses those who step out by faith and give. God blesses it every time. You take care of others, God will take care of you. I like this as a quote that says, if we take care of God's business, God will take care of us. If you take care of God's business personally, by giving, by telling others of Jesus, by giving the gospel out, God will take care of you. And if a church will take care of God's business and His business, when Jesus said, I must be about the Father's business, what did He mean by that? Winning people to Himself. When we take care of God's business as a church, God will take care of us. He will bless us. We've seen that already. When I was, years ago, I was 20 years old when I took my first pastorate in the big city of Nakona, Texas. Huge metropolis of 2,800 people. There are like 30 churches in that little town. But we were the only independent Baptist church, and there's about 12 people there. And so they called me. This is the church I grew up in as well. So everybody knew me. And they said, why don't you come over here and take the church? And I said, I don't know about that. I said, all y'all know me. I'm little Eric, you know. No, y'all come over. And I said, all right, but here is my list of stipulations. And I put like 10 of them. If you want me as pastor, number one, my father-in-law has to resign as the associate pastor of the church. A church running 12 people doesn't need an associate pastor. And there was other reasons. Number two, if you want me as your pastor, then we got to take missionaries on because they had dropped all their missionaries. I said, the very night you vote me in, we're going to vote two or three missionaries to support them because I'm not going to pastor a church that doesn't support missions because God won't bless it. God won't bless it. And I explained it to him. I had several other prerequisites as a young man who was a little bit arrogant and proud. I won't talk about that. Anyway, and so we went through it and we took on three, they voted me in 100% and we took on three missionaries. You know what? God blessed. God blessed. If you take care of God's business, God will bless you. If a church takes care of God's business, God will take care of the church. God will bless the church. We've seen that here. I mean, for us to get started and buy this piece of property and within a year and to end up owning the mineral rights to it and, I mean, just go on and on and on. I wonder why God did that. I don't wonder at all. Our church has been very faithful with missions from the very beginning. Amen. We took on the Coates family just about 2 months after we started. And from then on, it was on, you know, just taking missionaries on. And by the way, we passed the $1 million mark this year. We've supported, we've given over $1 million to missions in 14 years. That's amazing. It's amazing. God's good. And God blesses this property, and God blesses us with these buildings, and God blesses us with what He's given us and the membership because we've been faithful to do the Father's business, both here and abroad. And God blesses that. And then we have the principles of giving. In verse 2, I'm back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of liberality. The principle here of giving is giving in good times and bad. Our financial problems may just be a test. Testing our spiritual maturity. By the way, the word trial means putting to test. Putting to the test. And so when we go through the trials of our affliction, if they are financial, those are probably just simply tests in seeking our spiritual maturity. By the way, it says there, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. That giving brings joy. This church, the churches of Macedonia were poor. They were under great trial and affliction. They're being persecuted. And yet they gave anyway. They gave anyway, and God blessed them, and God, again, they got joy because of it. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Speaking of giving, they were willing of themselves. Not just in their power, but beyond their power. And this is where faith promise is. So if you want to underline that term, beyond their power, verse 3, underline the term, beyond their power. And then out in your margin of your Bible, you ought to put faith promise out there. Or put the term grace giving. So they didn't just give within their power. They didn't just give within their means. They didn't just give because they had it in the bank. They gave beyond their power. They gave beyond their ability. And this is where faith promise comes in. It is truly, faith promise is truly stepping out by faith and giving beyond what you may deem or what you may think is possible. And to totally depend upon God in enabling you to give that sum. You say, "Preacher, I still don't understand." It just means giving by faith and not by sight. We're going to give you another expression of grace giving here in a minute. But this is the first expression of grace giving, or faith promise giving. It's not giving within one's power. It's not sitting down and figuring out by way of the budget how much we can give, but it's giving beyond one's power. By the way, we could all give a little more to missions. Very simple. Stop buying Dr. Peppers. Every missions conference, you hear that term. Every missions conference I've ever been in says, stop eating McDonald's and give to missions. And we all give to missions and we end up eating McDonald's anyway. How does that happen? Now, I'm talking about McDonald's for breakfast, not for any of that. McDonald's, my kids have a term for it. I can't say it publicly. But it has something to do with, it's bad. We don't eat there. It's bad. My kids, as kids, are like, "Dad, let's go to McDonald's." "Nope, not taking you." I think we went to McDonald's like twice in our entire childhood's life. Anyway, but grace giving, giving beyond one's power, beyond their power, faith promise, grace giving is one of those areas in which will cost you something. It is an area in which you step by faith. Now, is that in the Bible or is it not? And I encourage you, go home and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and you read the context of these verses. There's no doubt, not even a little bit of doubt, this is talking about giving. Talking about giving. Grace giving. He's saying to them, Macedonian churches were being tested, being tried, and in poverty, yet they gave, not within their own power, but beyond their power, beyond their abilities. And God can do that for you as well. And then, verse 4 and 5, it talks about praying and entreating them and receiving the gift. And then it goes, verse 5 says, as this they did, not as we hope, but they gave their own selves to the Lord and us by the will of God. And look there at that phrase, and this they did, and this they did. I want to remind you too that giving is, as we do it together, collectively, will impact others. It's something that we do together as a church. They were all involved. I can't imagine a church at Philippi, in fact, you can go read about it in the book of Philippi, Philippians, that they didn't all get involved in it. I just want to encourage you, it's not about how much you give, but that you get involved. Give something. Let us. They all got involved. Yes, we should all get involved individually, pray about what God would have us to give, but it's giving together that makes the difference. It's giving as a collective group that has the greater impact, if you would. It's all of us getting involved and having a part in faith promise. Verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. It's kind of like saying, just as you abound in learning the Word of God, just as you enjoy coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, coming out to hear Brother Zellner speak on Thursday night, just as you abound in wanting to know the Word of God and learn the Word of God, just as you abound in witnessing to your neighbor and co-worker, so should you abound in grace giving also. So should you abound in giving also. Is that what it says? I believe that's pretty well stated what it says. So we can get excited about a lot of the other things in church. We can get excited about many of the other opportunities in the church. But he says, don't forget grace giving. Don't forget about your giving. Prerequisite for giving, verse 5. And I've heard this one preached many, many times. But and this they did also, not as we hope, but first gave of their own selves. And one of the prerequisites for giving is giving ourselves first. And once we understand biblical stewardship, and that is that I own nothing and that God owns everything. That I am merely a steward of what God gives me. I'm managing what God has given me. My finances, my home, my family, all those things God has given me, graciously given me. What a blessing to have those things. And I'm merely managing those things. Then faith promise missions is easy. Once I understand that God owns it all, and I'm merely managing it, and that even myself, I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your bodies. Hey, listen, we are to give ourselves to Him first. And if we give ourselves to Him, and we give our finances to Him, and we give our kids to Him, and we give our home to Him, and we give it all to Him, what greater things He can do with it than we can? Prerequisite to giving is giving of ourselves. The question this morning, have you given yourself to the Lord? Are you yielded to Him? Right? Broken. Right? Contrite. Right? Humble. Coming before Him. And we like to think about, I do think about the revival a lot, by the way, and splashing Jesus on people. But let's remember the emphasis of the revival was humble, broken, contrite, being yielded to Him, yielded to the Lord. All right? Verse 7, again, therefore, as ye abound in everything, as ye abound, we ought to abound in giving. Again, in chapters 8 and 9, the Bible speaking of abounding in giving and giving to Paul and giving to the churches. In verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion, the forwardness of others, that ye prove the sincerity of your love. In this verse context, it's talking about giving. Again, our spirituality and our love for the Lord many times is measured by our finances. If we were to go back and look at our, we don't all of us look at check ledgers hardly anymore, but if we were to go back and open up our Wells Fargo account on the computer and look at it, you know, where do we write the most checks to? What do we spend the most money on? Prove the sincerity of your love. And we need to take account of our own selves. The churches of Macedonia were very generous. Even in their poverty, they were generous. The church of Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea were being generous. They were generous givers. By the way, the greatest example of a giver was Jesus Christ. And verse 9 gives you that example. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty might be rich. And Christ gave all for us. So certainly we should give back to Him. Then verse 10 and 11, he just says to the church at Corinth, hey, you promised to give, now perform the doing of it. He's reminding them, he's writing a letter back to them saying, hey, you promised before to give, and apparently they had not done it. And he says to them, now promise, and promise, fulfill your promise, and do what you said you were going to do, verse 10 and 11. Look at the verses and we'll read them. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to forward a year ago. So a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. I said, yeah, you're willing to give to me when I was there in front of you, but once I was gone, out of sight, out of mind, right? Well, we need to be careful, don't we? Missionaries gone. It'd be good to walk up and down the missionary hallway a little bit and be reminded of the great need the world has. The great need the world has. Then, this is the second part, and this is something in my study that became clearer to me. Now, look at verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Look at verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to he hath not. And you go on down through there, verse 12. Again, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. Let's look at these verses again. Look at verse 11 and 12. Let's read them again slowly. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. That's what I wanted to get on. Out of that which ye have. So he says to them, you made a promise a year ago to give, but you haven't done it yet. Now give out of that which ye have. I do think there's two types of giving talked about in these 12 verses. There's Macedonia giving, and there's Corinth giving. The Macedonian churches gave out of their poverty and gave beyond their ability. The church in Corinth gave of their ability and within their power. Everybody with me? That's what it says. He says, give of that which you have. This is why I said, when I talked about faith promise being beyond our ability and not figuring out with a checkbook, but understanding the church at Corinth gave of their own ability and of their own power. And yet they gave. What I'm saying is, I believe you can be a generous giver and still figure it out with a budget. It's kind of like Israel walking by sight and not by faith. I think it does tell a lot about where we are at spiritually when we sit down and figure out our faith promise giving rather than praying and let God lay it upon our heart what He would have us to give. But both are described in these verses. You say, well, preacher, I just can't step out there by faith, and I can't step out there and go beyond my ability. I can't. You know what that means, don't you? And I told Brother Feaser I wouldn't do this, man. You know what that means? In other words, faith promise. What Macedonian churches did is they gave more than they could give themselves. They gave beyond their ability. It's like us sitting down and saying, here's my budget. I don't have $100 a week to give. It's not in the budget, but I'm going to give it anyway. That's Macedonian giving. That's faith promise giving. I'm going to rely upon God to supply this money in order for me to give it. And I always remember preachers saying as a kid, now if God doesn't supply it, it may mean you may not have to give it, right? I don't necessarily think maybe that's true, but anyway. But that's what he's saying. Macedonian churches, faith promise giving, grace giving is not sitting down and saying, okay, boop, 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 I can make another car payment. Right? It's sitting down and saying, doot, 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 honey, I don't know how we're going to give to missions. The money's not here. But the Bible says if I'll do it, that He'll bless and give it. We're going to step up by faith and do it. Amen. But for some, it's sitting down with the budget and going, boop, 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 boop. That's the computer. Boop, 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 and saying, you know what? We have an extra blank in the budget. We're going to give this. Everybody see? Amen. Difference between faith promise, Macedonian giving, and Corinth giving. You say, well, which is right, which is wrong? I think it depends upon your heart. It's a heart issue. It's not the preacher coming around and, you know, telling Kelly Clark, so give me your checkbook, you know, and going through it. And that would be kind of, yeah, going through it and say, oh, you're not very spiritual, boom, you know. No, God determines. Yeah, that's between you and the Lord. Somebody asked me recently about giving, and I said, listen, our church does not send out, you know, tithing bills. Never, ever, ever. We don't send out, you know, and say, when you join the church, you have to do this, you have to give. Giving's between you and the Lord. Amen. But let me remind you that if you will give, God will bless you. Amen. God will bless you. Now, 100 won't get you 1,000, but tithing and giving above the tithe to missions will get the blessings of God upon your life. Amen. Right? Upon your life, your family's life, upon your finances, your family's finances, and for some of you, upon your business finances, God will bless you. Amen. It's amazing. And God has done that for me in my own life. God's been so good to me. Faith promise. The last point, we don't have time to cover this one, but is one day we will stand before God and give an account. We will give an account. Let's be reminded, one day we'll stand before God and give an account, not for our sins, but for our stewardship. And again, that's a heart issue. So how will God determine whether or not I get a reward for something that I do? Depends upon how you gave it. If you gave it for His glory or for self-glory, that's it. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Let's give all glory to Him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for listening. I think it's been a while since we've been really in depth about what grace giving is. I pray that we've clearly defined it this morning. And I hope that you will pray about what God would have you to give this year. This is the first year we've set a numerical goal. I just want to encourage you. Everyone get involved. That's the key to this. I promise you that's the key. It's not about how much you give. It's everyone getting involved. Pray what God would have you to give. And I tell you what, you want to exercise spirituality, step up by faith and do something beyond your ability. And see how God shows up in a mighty way. It's amazing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We just pray, God, that you'd be with the service to follow. Be with Brother Johnson, be with Brother Pridey as they speak. Lord, fill them with your spirit. I pray again that our church would get a greater fire for missions, a greater burden for missions. In Jesus' name.